It is Psalm 100 that I'd like to call your attention to this morning. It is a psalm for giving thanks. It's a beautiful psalm. Many of us have memorized it at some time or another in our lives. It's a beautiful expression of how we are to give thanks to God. Psalm 100. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and bless his name. For the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever, and his faithfulness to all generations. What a glorious truth that is. Psalm 100. His steadfast love endures forever. Before we open this beautiful psalm, let us seek his guidance in prayer. Our Father in heaven, you have taught us that every gift, every good and perfect gift comes from above. And so on this Thanksgiving Day, it is altogether fitting and proper that we should give thanks to you who are the source of it all. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Bless us now as we worship and praise your glorious name. In Jesus Christ our Lord we pray, amen. Dear friends, brothers, sisters in Jesus Christ, Thanksgiving Day is a wonderful day. It's a day in which we are called by our government to praise God. That doesn't happen in countries that do not recognize God. They don't have a Thanksgiving Day. They just don't. And so it is a great and singular blessing that we live in a country that recognizes that there's a source to these gifts of ours, and the source is no one but our eternal God. And what a wonderful truth that is, that God is indeed the source of every good gift. And so the psalmist says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Singing is a great way of expressing our gratitude to God. Singing is truly a great gift. As you look at the book of Revelation and what happens in heaven, a lot of the things that happen in heaven are in song. The saints of God who are already there are singing the praises of the Lord. The angels sing. The 24 elders sing. The four living creatures sing. The whole earth sings before the Lord because God is the source of every good gift. Now, the only way to know about the Lord, the only way to know about God, the only way to know about the Father is through the Son of God, Jesus Christ. In fact, John, the Gospel, John 1, verse 18 says, no one has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son who was in the bosom of the Father, he has made him known to us. And you remember how Jesus said in John 14, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. And then Philip said, Lord, show us the Father, and we will be very satisfied. And then Jesus makes this beautiful statement. Philip, have you been with me so long, and you don't even know me? He that has seen me has seen the Father. That is a wonderful truth. We know the Father through the Son. We come to God the Father by way of Bethlehem, where Jesus was born. We come to God the Father and Genesis 1 and creation through John 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. We may only know the Father through the Son. In fact, the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians 4 speaks about the preaching of the gospel, that we do not preach ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord. And then he says, God, who called light into existence, has shone in our hearts through the face of Jesus Christ. We see the Father through the Son. The only way we can understand creation is through Jesus Christ. Jesus is the one who opens our eyes. He's the one who reveals the Father to us. And so we, on this Thanksgiving Day, we come to the Father, who is the source of every gift, through his Son, who is the Word of God, who communicates it to us. And he reveals to us everything as the Father has revealed to him. And so we come to the Lord on this Thanksgiving Day because he has first come to us. What a great, wonderful blessing it is that he has come to us, that he has visited us, that he opens our eyes. That's a wonderful thing. You know, it's only the church, it's only the believers, it's only those who know Christ who really know what Thanksgiving is. People who do not recognize God, you know, they have a different name for this day. They call it Turkey Day. We surely enjoy a turkey today, but we call the day what it really is, Thanksgiving Day. It's a day to give thanks. And thanksgiving is what we have to be doing all our lives. We have to live thankful lives. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. It is a universal call. The psalmist says, make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. It's a call to the whole earth. This Psalm 100 is a parallel Psalm to 95, and it also is very closely connected to 1 Chronicles 16. That is the story of the return of the Ark to Jerusalem. And when the Ark of the Covenant was returned to Jerusalem, you read about it in 1 Chronicles chapter 16, and you read there that you read David's song of thanksgiving. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the peoples. Sing to him, sing praises to him, tell of his wondrous works. Glory in his holy name. Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his presence continually. Remember the wondrous works he has done, his miracles and the judgments he uttered. O offspring of Israel, his servant, children of Jacob, his chosen ones. He is the Lord our God. His judgments are in all the earth. Remember his covenant forever, the word that he commanded for 1,000 generations, the covenant that he made with Abraham, his sworn promise to Isaac, which he confirmed to Jacob as a statute, to Israel as an everlasting covenant. You see, That was the occasion for these wonderful words which are reflected in Psalm 100, when the ark was returned to Jerusalem. Now the ark was a very important symbol. It was a box, and it was a box overladen with gold. It was a very important box. It was a picture of God's relationship with his people. In the ark, there were three things. In the ark, there were the two tablets of stone, which God gave from Mount Sinai, the Ten Commandments. In the ark also was a pot of manna, which recalls how God cared for his people in the midst of the wilderness. And in the ark was also the rod of Aaron, which budded. The rod budded to show that Aaron was the man, was the priest, whom God chose to be his representative in Israel. So those three things were in that box. And on top of the box, there were cherubim, there were angels facing each other. That box, that ark of the covenant, was in the Holy of Holies. And no one might come to see it except the high priest, and only once a year. And he had to first come with blood to make atonement for his sin. And then he comes with blood representing the atonement for the sins of all the people, and he sprinkled that upon the ark. And that was to bring reconciliation between an offended God and an offending people. And that was the picture of God's relationship with his people. He is faithful. He is our covenant God. He never changes. And his goodness to us is seen in his covenant. And he says to us, I am your God, and I am the God of your children. When the psalmist says, make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth, it's actually a universal call. It's a call to all peoples. Those who are Christians, those who are not. Those who live, those who have breath, those who are living. Everyone is called to give thanks. And do you know who is to lead the way? The church. The church of our Lord Jesus Christ is the one, is the entity that leads the nations of the earth in giving thanks. So the church has a tremendous responsibility. There is more responsibility to the church than we often think. We are not always aware that the church has that significant role in the world. But it does. The church is the only entity that will last forever. Only the church. Nations come and go. We know that there are ruins of the nations of like Rome and Greece and other ancient peoples. Their ruins are there, but the nation is long gone, but the church remains. The church remains. Jesus said that, didn't he? He says, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will never prevail against it. There will never be a time when the church is no longer in existence. And that's because Jesus Christ is the head and king of the church, and Jesus is in glory
in heaven, he's also here with us. And Jesus Christ has called his people by his word and spirit in the unity of true faith. And of that body, we can say we are and ever shall remain living members. The church is key to the success of a nation. The church is a blessing to the nation. And maybe the nation doesn't know about it, or is not aware of it. That doesn't change the truth of it. God's mercy is showered upon all mankind through his church. And it's wonderful to be part of that church. It's a great honor to be part of the church of our Lord Jesus Christ. And through his body, the church, blessings surround us and are extended to a nation. And so in this psalm, the command is really given to the church. Make a joyful noise to the Lord. That's the believers. The word Lord means covenant God. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, our covenant God, all the earth. The whole earth is to reflect that, but the church is to lead the way. The church is to direct everyone else as to who they are to give thanks to. It's the church. And it's a wonderful thing to be part of that body, the church. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. So that's a universal call. And it's a call that is filled with love. You can see how the psalmist describes that. He says, serve the Lord with gladness. Gladness is to be welling up in our hearts. Come into his presence with singing. Nehemiah, as he was called to build the walls of the ruined city of Jerusalem, he called his people to do this. And he said to them, the joy of the Lord is our strength. The joy of the Lord is our strength. He is the one who makes us who we are. He's the one who gives us everything we need. He's the one that must prompt the joy to come out of our hearts. Serve the Lord with gladness. Then he says, the psalmist says, there's something I want you to know. Know that the Lord, he is God. He is the sovereign. He is the one who controls everything. He's the creator, the sustainer. He's the one who is in total control. So the psalmist says, know that the Lord, he is God. Now there are a couple of instances, maybe many, but I'm thinking of two, in which someone said, I don't know your God and I don't believe in him. And that was Pharaoh, king of Egypt. And Moses came to him because God called Moses to lead his people out of Egypt. So he comes to Pharaoh. And this is recorded for us in Exodus chapter 5. He comes to Pharaoh. And he says, thus says the Lord, let my people go, that they may worship me. You know what Pharaoh says? I don't know who your God is, and I'm not going to let you go. So here is Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, and Moses, representing the God of all the earth, he says to Pharaoh, God says, let my people go. Pharaoh says, I don't know your God, and I'm not going to let you go. So here you have God and Pharaoh, toe to toe, eyeball to eyeball. And God says to Pharaoh, I am God. Pharaoh says, I don't believe it. And I'm not going to obey. I'm going to do what I please. Well, you know how that turned out, don't you? There were 10 plagues. Each one was worse in severity. And the last one came. And the firstborn of everyone in Egypt died except those who lived in a house with blood over the door. That was the day of the Passover in which the angel of death came into the community and struck down the firstborn of everyone who did not have blood covering them. And Pharaoh's firstborn was killed. And then Pharaoh says, go, 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 or we'll all be dead. And Israel left. And you know what happened? Pharaoh, who defied the living God, he and his army follows Israel. They go into the, Israel goes through the Red Sea, is on dry ground, and then Pharaoh, trying to go through, thinks he can do it too, and the sea comes back and covers them all. And this one who defied God is drowned in the sea together with all of his army. So the psalmist in this psalm says, know ye that the Lord, he is God. He's got the last word. And the second instance that I'm thinking of is another man. His name is Goliath. And he defied the living God. He defied that God had, first of all, he denied that God existed. And then he denied that God had power. Certainly not more power than he, Goliath, a 9-foot-high giant. He was the one who was powerful, most powerful. And here comes David. David the shepherd boy. And he says to Goliath, I come to you in the name of the Lord God of Israel, whom you have despised, whom you have cursed. And Goliath laughs at him and says, you little guy, what do you think you are? I'm going to take your body and I'm going to rip it apart and I'll give it to the birds to eat. And David said, you come to me with sword and javelin and spear, but I come to you in the name of the Lord God of Israel, whose armies you have defied. You remember how David took one of those stones that he had taken out of the brook and slung it and hit the Goliath in the head, and down came Goliath. And then David took Goliath's own sword and severed his head. That's what happens to those who defy the living God. God exists. You remember how it says it in Hebrews 11, verse 6. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. He that comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. He is the living and true God. There is none other. And on this Thanksgiving Day, we, as part of the Church of God, the Church of Jesus Christ, are leading the nation, saying, it is this God who's the creator, the ruler, the sovereign over all the earth, that we give our thanks to him, whom we know in Jesus Christ, who has written his word, and who wrote it on our hearts, and who calls us to serve him. And we give thanks to him today. Oh, we have so many reasons for thanks. Our hearts are overwhelmed with gratitude. That's such a beautiful song. With grateful heart, my thanks I bring. We are so grateful for everything that God has done. He is the overflowing fountain of all good. You know where you find that beautiful statement? You find that in the Belgic Confession, written by Guido de Bray, who was a preacher in the Low Countries of the Netherlands. And in 1561, Guido de Bray wrote an apology. No, it wasn't saying I'm sorry. It was an explanation as to why Christians follow the Word of God and follow the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And he wrote those, his convictions, in what is called the Confession of Faith. It's called the Belgic Confession. The first article is, and I believe that there is one holy, eternal God. And he gives various beautiful attributes of God, and then he concludes that first article with this sentence: who is the overflowing fountain of all good? And he wrote about the work of God the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, the work of the church, the work of salvation, and the last things. There are six great points in that Belgic Confession. And he put it in a wound it up as a document, put a string around it, and threw it over the palace wall. And the king of Spain was given that document, and he said, "Who wrote that?" And he was told, "The preacher, Guido de Bray." And he said, "Bring him to me." So Guido de Bray was brought to the king of Spain. And the king said, "Did you write this?" He said, "Yes, sir. And the reason I'm writing it to show that we who believe in the Word of God and all the truths in this document are not revolutionaries. We are not rebellious against your rule. We will obey your rules of this nation, but with regard to the truth in this document, we will offer our tongues to knives, our bodies to flames, rather than deny the truth of this confession." And the king said, "All right, you're going to pay for it." So on May 31, 1561, Guido de Bray was hung. He was executed. And that's why we can sing, "Faith of our fathers living still, in spite of dungeon, fire, and sword." And we say, even today, we will be true to thee till death. The psalmist says, "Know ye that the Lord, he is God." Two great reasons the psalmist gives. First of all, he made us. He made us. And we are his. He has a claim on us. He has a claim on you and on me. He has a claim on us. You are mine. And his claim means that he's going to care for us and love us and watch over us all our life. Oh, is that ever a comfort to me as we're going to Mayo Clinic? We just know that God is there. He's with us. This God is our God forever and ever, and he will be our guide all the way. Now unto him, says Paul at the end of Ephesians 3, now unto him who was able to do exceeding abundantly above all we ask or imagine, unto him be the glory forever and ever. Isn't that right? He is God. He has a claim on us. He's got a claim on you. He's got a claim on your children. He's got a claim on your possessions. They're his. We sing about it and say, all that I am I owe to thee. Thy wisdom, Lord, has fashioned me. I give my maker thankful praise, whose wondrous works my soul amaze. He has a claim on us. He's got a claim on every single one of us. So that's the first reason that we must know him. The second reason is this. The psalmist says, he's the shepherd. He's the shepherd. We are his flock. And the care that a shepherd has for his sheep, so the Lord has for us. He watches over us. David in Psalm 23 says, the Lord is my shepherd. As a result, I shall not want. I shall not worry. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, because you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. And then that beautiful, beautiful sentence, my cup runneth over. Can you say that today? My cup runneth over. We are so blessed. Our cup is running over with God's goodness, with his provision for his love, his mercy. He never fails. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So he's the good shepherd. What a wonderful thing that is. And then the psalmist says, let's call upon the Lord with all our hearts. He says, let's enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and bless his name. That's really what thanksgiving's all about. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits to us. Forget that not. Don't forget that. And then he begins to mention them. The first and the most wonderful gift of all is he forgives all my and your transgressions. He forgives them. And forgive means he blots them out and doesn't bring it up again. He forgives all my transgressions. And then he takes care of our body and soul too. He says he heals all our diseases. What a wonderful thing. He is the healer. He puts it all back together. He heals our diseases. He redeems my life from destruction and crowns me with glory and honor. His mercy is everlasting. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. As far as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love to us. I mean, we are overwhelmed with gratitude for who he is. And then he gives us three powerful reasons. And these three are these: for the Lord is good, his steadfast love endures forever, and his faithfulness and truth endure to all generations. There you have the three great, great grounds of gratitude. First, the Lord is good. He is good. There is no goodness apart from God. He is the source of every good thing. Any good thing in your life and in the lives of your children and loved ones, any good thing comes from the Lord. Every good and perfect gift does. His steadfast love, his mercy endures forever. You know why that's such a wonderful thing? Because our sin is there. And where sin abounded, there did grace abound much more exceedingly. His mercy is everlasting. It never ceases. He's always merciful to us and gracious. His loving kindness never ceases. And then the third is his truth endureth to all generations. And you know what that truth is, of course? It's his word. The psalmist in 119 says, "Thy word, O Lord, is forever settled in the heavens." That word comes from God himself. Holy men of God spake as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. All scripture is inspired of God. His truth endures forever. That's what we're all about. That's what the church is all about. We love that truth. We love this God who is good, who is gracious, and who is faithful. And so may we have a blessed, wonderful day of Thanksgiving today. Oh, the Lord bless you and your families as you gather, as you eat, as you fellowship. May we always remember that this God is our God forever and ever. He will be our guide all the way to the end. And everyone said, amen. Lord, bless this word unto our hearts today. Thank you, Lord, for who you are. Guide us by your Spirit. Forgive all of our sins, O Lord. And thank you for who you are. With grateful heart, my thanks I bring. Lead us now, Lord, by your Spirit, in Jesus' name, amen.